Focus. Focus up. I'm talking to you. Her name is Chastity. And Guy, with your little fitness thing that you guys going, I'm very proud of you guys. I think you're 22 days deep into it. Very, very impressive. Keep up the good work. I think you're doing 75 something. I don't know what's happening. What's going on? My name is Chris Rubio, host of the Rubio Method. Also, I'll be hosting Decades in about 2.5 hours. So make sure you stick around the NGBN network for that. We have episode 55. This is going to be a wild show. It's going to start off a little slow, a little somber, but then we're going to pick up the pace. All right. What do we have in store today? We've got how actions have consequences. What did you know? If you do a certain action, it's going to have a consequence. We're going to talk about Ben Shapiro and his stupid comments about retirement. We're going to talk about how West Point is changing its mission statement to remove the words duty, honor, and country. And I have a feeling we're going to have a special guest come on to help me discuss that one. We're going to talk about the 4-year anniversary of 15 days to slow the spread. I'm still a little pissed off about it. I don't know about you guys, but we'll talk about it. We're going to talk about banning TikTok. Is that a good thing or a bad thing? And last, we're going to talk about El Trumpo's bloodbath in the media. All of that and much, much more on today's episode of the Rubio Method. Jenna, I'm out. All right, so let's talk about how actions have consequences. I'm going to start the show a completely different way than I normally do, just because this just happened to me this past weekend, and it was so bizarre. I said, you know what? I need to talk to some people about this, and I can't remember if I was watching AC of AC Sports Live or The Ride with Chevy and Nasty, and they were saying how their shows are kind of like their therapy. It was one of those. And so this is going to be kind of like my therapy. So half of you are going to love this story and back me totally, and half of you are going to hate the story and say, Rubio, you're wrong. And I'm going to say, okay, I'll take both. You guys got to choose what you want to choose. I don't care. Some of you think I'm being helpful. Some of you think I'm being rude. Here's how the story starts. My parents got divorced when I was 9 months old. Okay. My mom did a phenomenal job. My wife said she was a little overprotective, but that's neither here nor there, of doing a great job of raising a single boy, a big single boy. I was just looking at, she sent me a picture of a note card from my doctor when I was 13 years old, and I was 5'10", 225. And all over the note, the guy's like, table foods only. I'm not 6 months old. Who the hell says table foods to a 14 year old? And it says no snacks in all big letters, no cursive. So it kind of, she did a great job, let's just say that. So I grew up with no dad around. He would be here every once in a while. So like he'd come for about a year or two, and he'd come every other Sunday, do what he's got to do. And he would always go to my mom's house. I'd never go to his apartment or condo or house. I didn't even know where he lived until I was like 15. I just knew that he sold carpet and he came back around and did all that stuff. And so he would come, and it was kind of weird. He'd barbecue, do what you got to do. And then he would be poof, he'd be gone for like 3 to 4 years. So like from fifth to like seventh to eighth grade, you just wouldn't see him. He wouldn't call, wouldn't do anything. And it didn't really bother me at the time because it happened so often that it was just, this is kind of a weird thing. And when I actually went to my friend's house after school and I would see both parents come home from work and kids, hey honey, how's it going? That to me seemed even more odd because I didn't grow up like that at all. My mom was there. I'd go to my buddy's house or my aunt's or uncle's until my mom got home from work. She's working these long hours doing what she's got to do. And she just picked me up. We'd get some food and watch some TV and go to bed. That's what happened. And so to see two people in a nuclear family, it seemed just very, very odd. And like he would bounce in, bounce out, bounce in, bounce out. And when he was bouncing out, there was no contact. We're not talking like he would send a letter, call, who knows where he was, who was, what he was doing. So about ninth grade year, he came back in. Then he was gone again for 10th and 11th. Senior, he comes back in. And one of the things with my dad is he's very, very, very into UCLA. Like he would brag that he would always wanted to go there, that he could have gone there, but he didn't, blah, blah, blah. And I started to get it recruited by UCLA. Obviously, you can figure that out, that I played football there. And I remember when I told him, hey, I got into UCLA and they want me to play football. His response was just, okay. And I thought, okay, this is where I know the dude is super odd, because I was expecting him at least to say, wow, Christopher, that's phenomenal. That's so great. But it is what it is. So I saw him my freshman year of college, then didn't see him. I don't think sophomore year, junior year, I saw him. Senior year, I saw him a little bit. After that, nothing. He was just gone. I mean, one again, just one of his vanishing acts. And you didn't even ask questions anymore. Like, where's Larry? Who knows? Who cares? You know, go. So my 22-year-old son now, Cruz, Okay, we were at Pismo Beach and we're driving along, and he's in a little carrier. So he's 6 months old, 9 months old, who cares? And we were with my neighbors at the time, and we're driving down Pismo Beach, about 2.5 hours north of LA. And all of a sudden, this 10-year-old neighbor behind me sits behind me, goes, "Hey, Rubio, there's your dad," joking. He's never seen my dad. And I look over, and this guy jogging, and I go, "Holy hell, that is my dad." And I go, "How did you know that's my dad?" He goes, "The dude looks just like you. Is that seriously your dad?" And I go, "Yeah, it is." And so I dropped him off at the pizza place that we were going to. I come back around, park about 200 yards in front of my dad, and I get out with my son, Cruz, and Larry's jogging right by me. And I go, "Hey, Dad, what's up?" And he just kind of keeps going right by me. And mind you, I haven't seen him in probably 7-8 years. And he turns around and he goes, "Christopher?" And I go, "Yeah, man, what's going on?" And I wasn't mad, wasn't sad. It was just, hey, there's a guy that I haven't spoken to in about 7 years. And we kind of BS for a little bit. And he said, "All right, so if you're ever in town, I live up in this area, you know, come by, see what you got to do, blah, blah, blah." And I was like, "Well, this is your grandson, in case you cared." He's like, "Oh, okay, what's his name?" And I knew he knew his name because he still occasionally would speak to my mother. So boom, he vanishes again. All right. And then about, let's say, 13 years ago, he's known Jolie, my wife, her entire life, because we kind of grew up together as friends and all that good stuff. And then I tell him, "Hey, I'm getting married to Jolie. You know her whole family. You want to be involved?" No, I'm good. I said, "Okay, that's another weird thing." And then I tell him, "Oh, by the way, you know, we're having a kid. Jolie and I are having a kid. Do you want to see him? Would you like me to introduce? Would you like me to fly down to where you live in Ventura, wherever you're at?" And he flat out says, "No." I said, "What?" And I was driving. I remember very, very specifically because I was driving. He said, "No?" And he says, "No." I said, "Why?" And he said, "Because I just want you to tell him that I'm dead." And I said, What? What do you mean?" He goes, "Just pretend that I'm dead. Tell him he does not have a grandfather." And I go, are you sure about this? Because now I got a little bit pissed off because that's not only affecting me, it's affecting my kids. And I said, "Are you sure about this?" And I made myself very, very clear. And it was almost at that point like I was the father and he was the child. And he says, "Yes, I'm sure." And then boom, hung up. And I went, okay. And so that's the way it's going to be. And I never really think about it until something like what happens this weekend. So all of a sudden, I'm driving back last week from my California camp to the airport. And my mother tells me, she's giving me a ride, says, "My Uncle Richard," that's my father's brother, my uncle, says, "Your father's in pretty bad condition doing, you know, he's got some issues, blah, blah, blah." And I said, "Okay, what am I supposed to do?" I don't know. He woke up basically paralyzed in a bed. He's living up in south of Seattle. "How far are you from Seattle?" I go, "I'm 6 hours away, but what am I going to do for that?" I said, "Nothing." I said, "I'm, you know, almost in my 40s. They can call me anytime they want if they feel like they need to talk to me about this whole issue." So Saturday night, I get a call from my Uncle Richard, and he's got his own set of issues, which is fine. And I love him to death. They're a great, great family. And he says, "Christopher, how are you?" And I said, "Fine. What's going on, Uncle Richard?" "Well, your father's having some issues." I said, "Okay, what would you like me to do about it?" He says, "Well, how far are you from Seattle?" I go, 6 hours. I go, "But I'm traveling for business." And I go, "Honestly, if I was in town, I don't know if I would do anything or what could I do? What do you want me to do? Take him out of the hospital? House him?" And he said, "Well, is that an option?" I go, "Absolutely not. That's not an option at all." And he says, "Christopher, I completely understand." He says, "He's been an ass to you for your entire life. I don't expect that much from you. I just wanted to ask." All right. And so I said, "Hey, I'm busy. And number two, I'm not sure I would. If I was down the street from him," and this is what I said to Uncle Richard. I said, and remember I told you, this half of you are going to think I'm an ass and half of you are going to think, good for you, Rubio. I'm going to say, you know what? If I was right down the street, I'm not sure I would do a damn thing. Because after all that he's gone through with me, okay, until now where it's to the point where he's been gone for so long in and out of my life, that now it's been 13 years, that I don't even think about him at all until someone says like, "Oh, what's your dad doing?" I go, "Oh, Jesus, I forgot I do have a dad. I just haven't spoken to him." So that's a story I wanted to start with. I know it's a little somber, but it's all about actions having consequences. Am I doing the right thing? Am I doing the wrong thing? I don't know. I bet half of you are probably analyzing it right now and half of you are saying, "Good for you, Rubio," like Jenna just did. Or half of you are saying, "Dude, you are a selfish ass. You need to go do this right now for him." And you know what? You're entitled to your opinion. We're going to talk a little bit more about this, maybe when I start hitting the comments. And if you want to come on, you can come on ngbn.tv. Go to the Rubio Method channel. Click on the yellow sweatshirt. And you can come talk to me right now about it if you want. I don't care. I got 5 other topics that we're going to talk about. We're going to hit them pretty hard, but we're going to do that right after this commercial. Jenna, take me out of here.
Our dedicated staff is ready to work for you. ArcBeat specializes in custom apparel. Call us or order online. Free shipping nationwide. Custom printed shirts are our specialty, and we make sure you get exactly what you want. Bring in your own design or let our team create one for you. Promote your business, event, or club with pens, caps, bottles, mugs, and more.
Creating cool since 1985.
Focus. Focus up. I'm talking to you, Whitney Haruza, out at One Shot Charlie's. That was the first commercial you just heard or saw, whether you're watching on YouTube, LinkedIn, Facebook, Spotify, Google Play. Remember, you download the app on Roku, all that good stuff. Right now, I know Whitney is hiring for the summer. If you know of a, say, a 20 to 30 year old guy or girl that wants to make a lot of money, that is a great route. And they get to stay in Harrison, Idaho. I'm getting some good responses here. Total understandable from the Doc and Chef. I think Sub 60 Ed chimed in there. AC said, yeah, good for you, Rubio, Sub 60. AC said, as long as you're at peace with it. So we'll keep moving on. I don't know. Sheldon says, I don't know if you have to do it for him. It's what's best for you and your value system. Tough call either way, brother. Yeah, I would agree. And make sure you catch Chevy and Nasty tonight at 10 p.m. Pacific for the ride. It's absolutely phenomenal. Everything happens for a reason. Let's jump right into it. Ben Shapiro, a very, very conservative talk show host, made a pretty stupid statement. I'm not a big fan of Ben Shapiro. I like some of his thoughts, but I don't like him just because his voice is so nasally. He's one of those people I just can't listen to because it just pisses me off. It's like same thing with like British movies. I can't watch them because I can't understand them, and I refuse to be the old guy that does subtitles, even though I know young people do subtitles now. All right, his quote was, "No one in the United States should be retiring at 65 years old. Retirement itself is a stupid idea unless you have some sort of health problem." Dude, you're an idiot. You're a flat out moron. Okay. I'm not saying that you have to give up all sort of work, but if you are, say, a pretty big manual labor guy, and I know Jenna's going to have a video up for me of someone doing some manual labor. If you're doing manual labor nonstop, yeah, you do that every day from 18 years old to 65. Ben, I'm pretty sure that you're going to want to retire at 65 and rest your body. I don't even know what the hell those guys were doing. Jenna yelled at me because they're pipe fitters or something. And she said something about Saskatoon, or she started her Canadian talk, which I don't understand. But if that's a real easy statement for someone to say who does what I'm doing right now. Like if I had to do this every single day, which I pretty much do with the Rundown with Rubio's, but if I had to do it every single day and this was my job in a nice air conditioned room, people telling me what to do. Sheldon says those are roughnecks. I don't know what the hell that means. Translation, decanadianize it. Connecting pipe on it. Yeah, there you go. Okay. I would want to retire. If I'm doing this every day, I don't need to retire. I'd be having a great time. Okay. 65, 70, 75, and I'm still getting paid good money for it. Why wouldn't you keep working? But for him to work no hard labor, okay, Tommy O'Rourke says, those dudes are men. Ben is a puss. Yeah. I mean, come on, dude. Talking all day long, that's a no-brainer that, yeah, you can do that. But to say that no one should retire, and don't get me wrong, I understand the whole principle of the fact that, you know, a lot of people, when you retire, you lose focus. You lose focus, and then what happens is you don't have a purpose. And then you always hear about those people that retire and then they die like a year later or even less, or same people that are married for 50 years. One dies and the other one dies like 6 months later because they were each other's purpose, which that's a beautiful love story. And I get it. I've seen The Notebook. You rah, rah, rah me. But it's one of those things that I just think it's a dumb thing. It really makes you look like a pompous ass, because to say that someone who's doing a different work than you doesn't want to retire or shouldn't retire, and it's stupid, that is just a dumb statement. He tried to walk it back a little bit and talk about the whole social system of it, the retirement system, the social security that everyone's paying into. We're going to go to it after this email question, but it's one of those things that I agree with him on that, but to come out with a bold statement of no one should be able to retire if retirement's dumb, that is dumb. That's a dumb statement to make. Jenna, do you have an email question for me? Rubio, were you ever a waiter? No, I was never a waiter. I think I'd be a great waiter if I was one, because I have a good personality and I've got big, long fingers, so I can hold a lot of crap. I think that's a good quality in a waiter. Number one, I would never be a waiter that doesn't write everything down. You know how much that pisses me off. Ironically, my first job was not a waiter. I worked at called Nutrisystem. My Aunt Leslie, she managed one of those Nutrisystem. But for those that don't know what Nutrisystem is, Nutrisystem is a weight loss company. And the irony of this is I was about 17 years old and I was probably 6'2", probably about 292 pounds. And I was working at Nutrisystem. So like any good boss did, my aunt threw me in the back so no one could see me. And I just stocked the shelf. So like when someone came in and they gave me a ticket of all the stuff they needed for the week, I would give all their tickets items to them and put it in a bag. And I would just stick my arm outside of a door. And then that's what they got. So no one really got to see me, because honestly, I don't think I would be the best advertisement for Nutrisystem at 6'2", 295. So shout out to Aunt Leslie, put me in the back. So let's talk about Social Security. Regarding retirement, I think Social Security is a complete scam. Give me a job where I can live comfortably and play golf three times a week. I'd never retire. That's you're retired, AC, for the love of God. That's 100% retiring. That if you're not working 5 days a week, that's retiring. So Social Security to me is an absolute scam. Number one, you have to do it. And like I said, if you want to come on and argue with me about this, feel free. You have to do it. If you get a choice to put money in there every day from your check, no, it's just all of a sudden, boom, it's gone. Okay, you have to do it, and the check is just gone without your approval. So it's there. Okay, what's going on there? And now think about this. Okay, what if I die? I'm supposed to retire at 65, even though Shapiro says no. What if I die at 64? What if I die at 63, 43, 22, whatever? If I die, do I get that money? No, obviously no, I'm dead. If I die, does my spouse get that money? Nope. Who does? The government. If I die at 66, so I get 1 year of my retirement money back, do I get that money back? No. Do my kids get that money? Nope. Who gets it? The government gets it. This is such crap when you really look at it. Why would I not be able to take my own money, okay, and deposit it however I want? If I want to go put it in Bitcoin and Ethereum, go ahead, do it. Do that. Okay. Jenna's saying to pay for other people's retirement. Hey, that's not my problem. You deal with your own. I don't care what you're doing. You don't care what I'm doing. All for one and a one for all in this one, bud. There's no way that I should be able to have to give my money to someone, i.e. the government, and have them just do whatever they want with it. And then when I turn 65, I'm allowed to have my money back. But they've collected all the interest on it the entire time. Why can't I just put it in whatever mom and pop bakery shop? Why can't I invest in One Shot Charlie's with Whitney Herouza? Why can't I invest in Artbeat Inc., the great corporation right here in Lewiston that does all my shirts and banners and all that stuff? Why can't I? I would love for someone to explain that to me, because it makes no sense to me that if I die before my retirement, boom, no one gets it. If I die right after my retirement, no one gets it. This doesn't make any sense to me. It doesn't make any sense to me. You know what also doesn't make any sense to me? That I don't know which commercial Jenna's going to put on right now before we come back to there are winners and losers in life. Jenna, take it away. I'm all fired up right now.
You have been watching The Rubio Method, a show on the NGBN.TV network.
1 week after launching our exclusive sneak peek, NGBN TV was live for 3 days of continuous coverage from Super Bowl 58 in Las Vegas.
NGBN TV is live from Las Vegas for Super Bowl 58.
The one-of-a-kind streaming TV network for men in their 40s, 50s, and 60s was the conversation for the big game about men's mental health. In the world of athletes, celebrities, and influencers, we're on notice. But we're just getting started with new partnerships announced, like the Team Nike 3-on-3 Championship, and new platforms available to download the NGBN TV app. So, what are you waiting for? Download the app today from your favorite streaming device, or check us out at ngbn.tv. This is NGBN TV.
Take it away, Rubio.
Focus. Focus up. I'm talking to you, Cindy. Stay strong, my woman. Always think the good positive thoughts. Stay strong. All right. Welcome back to the Rubio Method. My name is Chris Rubio. Obviously, we figured that out. This is episode 55. You can get on the show with me, ngbn.tv. Just click on the Rubio Method. And then you can click on the yellow hoodie and we're there. Oh my gosh, look at who we got here. We've got Big Bad Nick Umbel, special guest star, the man Nick, I want to talk to you. How are you doing, number one? I can't hear you. You're on mute. I still can't hear you. Hold on. You figure it out. I'll start. West Point has changed their mission statement, removing the words duty, honor, and country. Okay, West Point Army, we've got all that very, very high military base. West Point changes the mission statement, removing duty, honor, and country. Number one, why would you ever need to switch it? That's number one. Why do you need to switch it? I need to know that. I'm the guy who likes to question everything. I want to question everything over and over and over. Why would they need to change it? That's number one. Okay. And I understand change is inevitable. I get it. But what's next? Okay, before you change something, if you're going to change the paint of your house, okay, why are you changing it from pink to purple, okay, or beige to vanilla? What's the reasoning? Does it look better? Is it cooler? Is it cheaper? Is it cracking? Why? So that's what I need to know, okay? Now they're going to switch it to build, educate, train, and inspire the corps of cadets. Build, educate, train, and inspire the corps of cadets. All right, now you're thinking to yourself, Rubio, what's wrong with that? And I get it. There's not much wrong with that. Okay, build, educate, train, and inspire the corps of cadets. Now, the issue that I have with it, as crazy as the military has gotten over the last several years, remember, we're talking about a military that they have their lowest recruitment possible, the lowest recruitment ever they've ever had in like the past 100 years or something ridiculous, because no one wants to go into it because it's become, quote unquote, so woke. So build. Let's just take it word by word. Build. Okay, what are you building? Like building what? Are you building separate buildings? Are you building separate corps? Are you building separate soldiers? Are you building different soldiers? Are you building different groups? What are you building? That's what I want to know. Okay, answer me that question first. And then the second word, educate. All right, educate. What are you educating? Who are you educating? And what are you educating them about? That's what I need to think. Umble, you're back. Can I hear you now?
Yeah, I think I'm good now. Can you get me, Rubio?
Yeah, look to your left. There you are. Now I can see you, Daddy. So those that don't know, Nick Umble is a longtime friend of mine, former Long Stamper, Green Beret. Just, you want to look up the definition of American badass? It's this guy. That's all I'm going to say. After he retired from the Green Berets, he became a Long Stamper, graduated, and then he decided, you know what the hell? I'm going to become a power lifter. That's why he's as big as a Toyota Camry, because that's what he does. He lifts Jeep Grand Cherokees for a living. So, Nick, welcome. I want to go through this. I talked a little bit about this. West Point has changed their mission statement, removing duty, honor, and country. My immediate question is, why would they do this? And second is, what comes next? So, and they switched to build, educate, train, and inspire the corps of cadets. My number one question, and I'm going word for word here, build. What are they building? Like, that's what I would want to know. Are you building new buildings? Are you building new soldiers? Are you building new bases? What are you building? That's number one. I'll get to you in a second. And number two, educate. What are they educating me about? What are they educating their soldiers about? With as much stuff as you've seen lately, and I'm going to show you in a video in a little bit, not yet, Jenna, what are they educating the soldiers about? What are they teaching them? Are they teaching that, you know, you have to do this, that you have to have as many females as males, you have to have as many Mexicans as blacks, as Asians, as lesbians, as sub-60s? What are they educating about? Training, same thing. What are they training them on? What are they training them with? And inspiring, okay? How are they really inspiring? And after we show that video, I don't think I'm going to be that much inspired. So, Umble, what's your take on this?
Okay, so I didn't realize this, Rubio. I thought that duty, honor, country had been the motto at West Point since its inception. But okay, That's not true. That's not true. And it got changed probably 20, 30 years ago, maybe a little bit longer. So I kind of see where they're going with this. That's an institution that's there to build a corps of cadets. It's there to educate the corps of cadets, to train the corps of cadets, and to inspire the corps of cadets. So when we first talked about this last week, I was like, well, this is the dumbest shit I've ever heard. But I really believe that West Point is doing that. Don't get me wrong. There's some woke in this as well, right?
Okay.
That's why they're changing it, because duty, honor, country is not something that they want to portray at this point in the game. So, but I don't necessarily have a huge issue with where they're going with build, educate, train, and inspire a corps of cadets. But I understand where it's coming from, and it's the woke-mindedness that's creeping into that institution. And I don't think you're going to change that unless we get a different administration.
Okay, and so let's talk about the woke. Jenna, can you get that video ready for us? And Jenna, you only need to play about 30 seconds of the video, if that. Jenna?
All too often, I hear leaders talk about providing everyone with dignity and respect like it's an aspirational goal. That's not good enough. Dignity and respect is the bare minimum. It's the floor of where we can be. We must set our sights higher and focus on intentional inclusivity, because there are still far too many people out there, not just LGBTQ individuals, that feel marginalized, shut out, or discriminated against.
Okay. So who is that? That the U.S. Air Force hosted a transgender Pentagon official for a symposium on inclusion. Okay, number one, if I read that sentence to you 10 years ago, you'd be like, Rubio, those are made up words. Okay, so the U.S. Air Force hosted a transgender Pentagon official for a symposium on inclusion. All right, so now do you understand where I'm looking at this, Humble? And I'm okay. A little bit, okay, what we're going to build, educate, train, and inspire. Building what, educating who and how, and training what and why.
Yeah, I mean, I can't argue with you. That whole thing to me just reeks of like coming from my background and my past life, I look at everybody else and our enemies and people that are inspired by this country are going to look at that. And I mean, what is G and Putin saying? Oh God, they're putting their pronouns in their emails. So that must be badass. Oh, we're scared of the Americans now. Like that doesn't do anything for us, right? That does absolutely nothing to gain a more lethal force, right? Putting your pronouns in your email has nothing to do with building in a more lethal force. And that is the sole job. And people don't want to admit it. And Congress is using the United States military as an experiment, a human experiment. And that's not what it's for. It's lethality. We're there to kill people. We're there to go to war, steal power, and end lives. That's the sole purpose of the United States military. And we are really faltering, in my opinion, at that. And when Putin and Xi look at that, and they're you know, running commercials about how badass their dudes are, right? And they're trying to produce alpha males, and we're trying to turn everybody into a beta Charlie male. Like, it's just, it's not good. It's not a good look for the U.S. military.
And that's where you have our military is currently facing record low recruitment. See, when I go and I'm looking, if I'm building the military, I'm looking for you. I'm looking for the biggest, baddest, meanest human being who knows your job is to protect me. Okay. I want you to protect me. And if you have to kill someone to do it, so be it. That's your literally your job. And people, you got these 18-year-old kids, let's just say in the Midwest, farmland, and they've been raised hunting, fishing, doing all that stuff, holding guns, and they've been rah, rah, rah military. Maybe even their father was in the military. I guarantee the father who was in the military is looking around at what's going on right now and saying, son, you get your ass out of the military. You're not going to do it, because I'm not going to have you go through the military like it is now. Because like you said, other countries are not looking at that and being scared. I was a long snapper. You were a long snapper. The people that protected me were my left guard and my right guard. I didn't care what they were. If they were Asian, sub-60s, LBGT7s, I didn't care. I wanted the biggest, baddest, meanest human being on my left and his little cousin on my right. And that's what I had. The guy on my left holds the record for Pac-10 personal fouls. I've seen him bite human beings on the field. And the guy on the right, he barely spoke words because he was so caveman. And that's what I wanted. We're going to come back to this real quick. The hell's your name? Nick. Let me just answer this one quick email question. I'll come back to you and then we'll wrap up this segment. Go ahead, Jenna. Rubio, why do you laugh so hard when you're covering the current events of the day? I think I answered this last one last time, but it's, you know, you have to be able to laugh it off. So it because the world is so crazy. That's why I send Humble stuff. And it's one of those where just, you know, let's just kind of laugh it off. Humble, am I wrong? But shouldn't our focus on our military being getting the best, toughest, most patriotic soldiers we can to protect our country?
Yeah, without a doubt. But then you have to look at society and what we're doing in school systems nowadays, right? And that is dwindling.
Yeah.
I mean, we're trying to put kids on every drug we can. We're trying to give kids all the mental health counseling we can, which isn't a bad thing, right? The mental health thing is one thing, right? But now the military is like, well, if you've had mental health counseling, obviously you're not fit for military service. If you've been on some sort of drug, you're not fit for military service. If you're overweight, you're not fit for military service. If you can't pass an ASVAB, which is absolutely bonkers that people cannot do that. I was a moron when I went. When you build all of that down, it's a societal dwindle, right? Do we have those guys? I mean, they're out there, by I'm sure, but then you take away, like, there's no retirement in the military.
Yeah.
Well, 401k program. Who wants to sign up for 20 years to go potentially die or be maimed or lose a limb? And you got nothing to show for it when you get out except for a 401k plan. And we all know the stock market's not the greatest place to put your money.
Yeah. And that the big time show just got on and says, as a veteran, he goes, I can tell you that's not a good look. And I think that's what's going to happen with this next generation of kids, where you have, you say you were a soldier, you have an 18-year-old kid. Are you really going to be rah, rah, rah? Yes, go to the military. I think it's a great route. Are you going to be like, I don't know what direction this is going? And you know, that and that that can be kind of scary for the next generation of kids, where if America is not the biggest and the baddest and other countries are just laughing at us, that's not a good thing.
Yeah, it's a bad deal, Rubio, and it's not getting any better anytime soon, man. Is as far as I can see, it's getting worse before it's going to get any better.
Speaking of getting better, we're going to accept and embrace our next segment right now after this commercial. Humble, thank you so much. Thank you for being all your service as well, my man. Take me away, Jenna.
You have been watching The Rubio Method, a show on the NGBN.TV network.
Hello, we are the MD and Chef team. I'm nutritional chef Michael, joined by my beautiful wife, Dr. Isabel, medical doctor and suicide survivor.
Yes, I was dropped into the world of mental illness back in 2013, and by the grace of God, I survived suicide. But here's what I learned. We don't have a mental illness issue. That's the downstream event. We're focusing downstream. We should be focusing upstream on our brain health and all the things that we can be doing to support our brain health. Because you see, it's like mopping up the floor when the sink is overflowing instead of turning off the faucet. So come and join us on the MD and Chef Team show.
Come join us.
Take it away, Rubio.
Focus. Focus up. I'm talking to you. Everyone that has a group text with a group of buddies. I have several group texts. I think they're hilarious. They kind of let steam go off and do what you got to do, because every group I have is, some are football, some are political, some are funny, some are, you know, hometown, whatever. Just shout out to group texts. Welcome back to episode 55 of the Rubio Method. So far, so good. We're 30 minutes in and I've only been yelled at by Jenna one time. So that's a positive, because she gets very, very angry and she says she's cold right now because she's in Saskatoon or I don't know where she said. All right, accept and embrace. This March 16th was what? It was a four-year anniversary of, quote-unquote, 15 days to slow the spread. 15 days to slow the spread, that was 4 years ago. I was talking to Jenna about this, and she was even saying, wow, it's 4 years ago. Yeah, man. And I'm sure everyone knows exactly where they were when they got on camera and kind of said, okay, so what's going to happen? Because I remember, I think I had a camp in Georgia on March 14th, and I came back, and the next day, boom, it was locked down. And immediately, I was one of those people that right out of the gate, I was like, okay, this is pretty bad. I mean, I didn't understand the whole story of the wet restaurant or wet whatever bar where there was a bat, supposedly. That was the story going around for like an hour and a half. And I didn't think that was logical. But I also didn't think anything that they were doing at the start was had any common sense behind it. And it really, really bothered me due to the fact that where I lived in Northern Idaho, where I am in the middle of nowhere, I get it. So it's kind of like the wild, wild west out here. But where I lived, it was so much different than everything else. And with my job, I'm also a private football coach. There's a lot of traveling. All right. So I take about 70 to 80 flights a year. And all of a sudden someone gets up and says, oh yeah, you can't run camps outside anymore. And I go, what do you mean? Oh, you're a non-essential worker. Who tells you I'm a non-essential worker? Well, we made that up. Well, I'm essential to my family, as my wife is a stay-at-home mother. So what should I do? Oh, we're going to float you some money. No, I'm good. I don't want your money, because I know someone's going to have to pay that back. That money just doesn't grow on trees. Well, actually, it does grow on trees. But if someone's not paying that back, you're just going to diminish the entire economy. That's the way it's going to work. So that was the first thing that pissed me off. Essential versus non-essential workers. And you're going to say, Rubio, don't be so rude. Don't be so mean. There's a lot of people that died of the Rona. Okay. Well, and I would love to argue with that. You can come on NGBN.TV, the Rubio Method, click on the yellow switch, and you come on right now and argue with me about it, because And I know a lot of people. I don't know one human being that died from the Rona. Not one. Not literally not one. Okay. Not one. I know people that got sick. I know people that had the flu. I know people that got chills. I know people that had long, you know, they had the Rona effects for like 6-7 months. Okay. I don't know one person that died. Not one. Literally not one. I'll tell you what though. I do know two people that died with the effects of the Rona. And you're saying, Rubio, what does that mean? I'll give you two examples. My grandmother-in-law, Ruth, phenomenal human being, very, very social butterfly. She was in an old folks home, but like one of the fancy ones where they had like this little bar, like literally a bartender went around to each room and said, hey, Ruth, your cocktail tonight, here's your martini, shaken, not stirred. And they go to the next one. Hey, Tommy, here's your highball. Do what you got to do. Here, John, here's your old fashioned. And there was like nice one. Like they played bingo. They took them out to the casinos, all that good stuff. They went all over the place. As soon as the Rona came, she was not allowed to have any visitors. Her son was able to visit, but she was on the second floor, had to be down on the ground. And so she would have to wave through the mirror, wave through the window. Wasn't allowed to open the window. She died within 4 months of that. And I swear to God, I think it's because of the socialness of it, where she was so social. And then all of a sudden she was trapped like a veal. Okay. That's number one. She died because of that. And number two, I know another lady. People died with COVID, not from COVID. Okay, yeah, I'll give you that, Bazinet. I would say a good friend of mine, basically a sister of me, her mother had the surgery where she needed to go to Seattle. Okay, so she goes to Seattle, has a surgery, but she wasn't in the Rona section. So she wasn't really looked at. She has a surgery, but it takes longer and longer and longer because they couldn't get her in because the Rona section was so filled up. Don't get me started on that. And she ended up getting bed sores and all other kinds of sores. By the time she got back after her surgery, her body deteriorated so much and so had so much breaking down inside, she passed away. So there's two people that I know that died because of it, or of it, basically, like Bazinet was saying. And I didn't understand the rules because I was living in Northern Idaho. And when I finally did get to travel, I travel with a guy named Sailor. He's my business partner and he is from LA. So he's in super lockdown mode and I'm in no lockdown mode. I mean, we didn't even have to wear masks where I live. Nothing, no masks in the stores. I mean, I think you were supposed to, but no one actually did any of that. And we would go places and I didn't understand the rules. Like one time we were getting into an elevator and he says, well, there's two families in there. And I walk in, he goes, what are you doing? I go, I'm going to floor six. He says, what do you mean? I go, what am I grasping here? What's the problem? He goes, you can't get in an elevator with other people. I go, how the hell do you want me to get up to my floor? He goes, you have to wait until there's an empty elevator. I go, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. He goes, that's the way it's got to be. And then we'd go to eat. And they were trying to tell us, you have to wear your mask walking through the store or the restaurant. But as soon as you sit down, you're good to take it off. What the hell's that? How is that even smart? I mean, so sub 60 Ed, he can just roll nonstop without a mask because he's at table level. Bless his heart. So I don't understand that. And then the whole 6 feet separation. And then they came out later saying, oh yeah, that was actually, we wanted to do 10 feet, but we didn't think anyone would listen. Yeah, no kidding. No one would listen. No one should have listened in the first place. That was the dumbest thing in the world. Or the plastic dividers. And the whole thing just gets me so pissed off because is 6 feet far enough for social distancing? Here's what the science says. COVID 6 feet social distance sort of just appeared, like scientific basic Fauci admits. It just appeared. And no one gets called on this. Like no one says, hey man, for 4 years, you said this 6 feet, 6 feet, 6 feet. Like all of a sudden your sneeze can't go 6.1 foot. Like this is the dumbest thing ever. And it's almost like the great awakening where people just look and go, You guys can't be this dumb. Like, how did you fall for this? And because it was so weird that I live in the state of Idaho, obviously, okay, about 2 miles from me is the state of Washington because I'm on a border city. And the state of Washington, they had super, super strict rules where Idaho had no rules, all right? Because Clarkson, the city right next to me, they had to follow whatever Seattle was doing. And Governor Inslee for Seattle, he was really, really into it. People died in hospitals from the remdesivir protocol, Bazinet says, not the COVID. COVID was a great way to get you to the hospital, and then they put remdesivir in your body that shut down your organs. Yeah, I mean, the more they looking about it, you needed sun, vitamin D. So what did they say? Stay inside. What the hell are you talking about? It affects the obese people. Don't exercise. Stay inside. You should take your big ass and go for a walk out in the sun. That's what you should have done. And so Washington State had these strict rules. And I knew finally when I was completely blown away is they were like 3 years into it and they were still having all these things and these rules basically. where we didn't. So the Washington basketball teams would rent Idaho's gym, the Lewiston's gym, to play. So the two schools that were right next to each other would go across the bridge, play in our gym because they were allowed to. But that's what's going on there. Jenna, you have a video for me about the effect?
Probably the person I called most was the Secretary of Health and Human Services in Massachusetts. She worked for a Republican governor just to, but you know, when she was like, are you going to let them have professional football? And I was like, nope. And she's like, okay, neither are we.
Like those two, whoever talking on the phone to her, they should be arrested. Like, are you a doctor? Are you a scientist? And even if you are, hey, so, hey, Jenna, what are you going to do? Are you going to shut down football? I don't know. What do you want to do? Okay. Yeah, let's do it. Okay. Are you kidding me? Do you know how many people lost jobs, lost lives because of decisions like that? And you're like, Rubio, it's just football. How many people, parking lots, attendants, people that work at the stores, the hotels, people, vending machine people, all those people, people that are selling hot dogs and peanuts, tons and tons of people lost jobs. Okay. It was just so stupid. And then they finally, okay, El Trumbo's Operation Warp Speed comes around and to get this vaccine. Okay. He's pushing it. And then wouldn't you know, as soon as he's voted out of office, it was finally approved right when Joey B took office. That was what amazing coincidence to me. I always thought that was just so coincidental, so beautiful how it just worked out for Joey B. And then they talked about the vaccine effectiveness. Now, Jenna, I know I have a video about this. Can you play just about 30 seconds of this vaccine effectiveness video? Because it's like 4 minutes long. And you're going to... Like I said, that video goes for about 4 minutes long, and you see how the effectiveness keeps dropping. Eventually, it gets down to like 20% or something like that. So it's one of those things that, you know, how many kids had to lose out on college? How many people got fired from their jobs? How many people in the military had to leave the military because they wouldn't take the vaccine? And it doesn't even work. It doesn't slow it. It doesn't stop it. It doesn't stop the spread, and you could still die from it. It does not work hard enough, but you know what does? My next segment is going to be right after this commercial. I'm all fired up again, Jenna. Take me out of here.
You have been watching The Rubio Method, a show on the NGBN.TV network.
Let's get going, gang.
Our dedicated staff is ready to work for you. ArcBeat specializes in custom apparel. Call us or order online. Free shipping nationwide. Custom printed shirts are our specialty, and we make sure you get exactly what you want. Bring in your own design or let our team create one for you. Promote your business, event, or club with pens, caps, bottles, mugs, and more.
Creating cool since 1985.
Take it away, Rubio.
Focus. Focus up. I'm talking to you, Debsters. Happy birthday. Her birthday was St. Patrick's Day. So everyone wish Deb a happy birthday at some point in your life. That's my mother. She's a great person. Working hard is not enough. As an MD in New Zealand, I was mandated to get the jab or no medical license. Ouch. See, that's what I'm talking about. They could have lost their jobs just because they had to. And they were saying, well, it wasn't mandatory. Dude, that's literally mandatory. That's mandatory. Let's talk about working hard is not enough. They want to do a TikTok ban. Congress wants to stop a Chinese company from completely infiltrating every American household. Okay, I understand that, but then I also think back to, wasn't there just like two Chinese weather balloons that just perused around the country and no one cared? No one cared, meaning the government didn't care. And then they finally shot them out over someplace out in Florida or North Carolina. And like, oh, we had to wait for the right spot. Dude, they're over Canada and North Dakota and Montana. There's like 11 people in Montana. You could have found 12 spots to do that in 2 seconds. All right. And the problem with this is, the algorithms for TikTok, those that don't know what TikTok is, it's a social media platform. You just play videos and they're stupid little videos. Some are funny, some are educational, blah, blah, blah. But those that don't know, it's a Chinese-based company and the algorithms are completely different, okay? Nana Mona's here, says, let's talk about the plague in 1980. Yeah, it killed over 50 million people, the world's deadly virus. Yeah, no kidding, Nana Mona. the algorithms are different in China. So like it automatically pipes up for the Chinese kids, like educational stuff. And in America, it switches over to like LGBTQ things, other things that are stupid, whether it's like chewing gum off, you know, off the street, or just stupid little games like that. So all the algorithm things are completely different. And my thing with banning this is, number one, this is a really slippery slope. Really slippery slope of free speech, because I'm a free speech abolitionist. I'm saying you can say whatever you want. I don't care. The dumber things you say, that better for me. I don't care, because then I just know you're an idiot. Say whatever you want. If you want to be super racist, be super racist. What do I care? I just know you're not someone that I want to hang out with. You want to be someone that doesn't like pizza and you yell about how much you hate pizza? Great. We're not going to pizza together. You're an idiot, but I don't care. Say whatever you want. It doesn't matter to me. And so I don't like when the government would tell me anything that tells me I can't do something. So yes, I understand the app is bad, but there's a lot of other apps that are really bad as well. I mean, you've got so many where you've got, and I have a clip of Mark Zuckerberg coming up when you're talking about our own government worked with social media companies to block stories. And we're worried about other governments and other countries when our own government did it. And you're saying, Rubio, that's not true. Jenna, do you have that clip from Zuckerberg? Can you play that?
There's a lot of attention on Twitter during the election because of the Hunter Biden laptop story. The New York Post.
Yeah, we had that too.
Yeah, so you guys censored that as well?
So we took a different path than Twitter. I mean, basically the background here is the FBI, I think, basically came to us, some folks on our team, and was like, hey, just so you know, like, you should be on high alert. We thought that there was a lot of Russian propaganda in the 2016 election. We have it on notice that basically there's about to be some kind of dump that's similar to that. So just be vigilant. So our protocol is different from Twitter's. What Twitter did is they said, you can't share this at all. We didn't do that. What we do is we have.
So that's not a bit concerning. Remember, this was all basically right before the election, too. They have all this Russian disinformation. You had all this Hunter Biden stuff. And the government says, hey, we've been told, we found out, we did this. You guys, anytime you see this, you can't do it. And it's not only like you couldn't just post it. You couldn't see it. You couldn't even do anything like where you couldn't even send in a private message on Twitter. You couldn't even send a private message about the Hunter Biden story or Russian disinformation, which, by the way, the Russian disinformation story has already been proven untrue now after the fact, shocking. And the Hunter Biden laptop story has also been proven true that, yeah, it was his. So we're worried about others, but what about our own? And it also makes me very, very nervous on this TikTok ban when both sides, the Republicans and the Democrats, are so wholeheartedly agree. When they wholeheartedly agree on one thing, I'm like, whoa. Like, what do you mean? Like when both of your enemies are going to understand something, okay, and they're going to agree on something, that doesn't make sense. Email question, Rubio, if you could have only one condiment, oh, good God, for the rest of your life, what would it be? Ketchup. Heinz ketchup, no doubt. I would like to have ranch as well, but if it's only one, ketchup, undoubted. I love ketchup. I would, oh my God, the things I would do for ketchup, so, so good. And the last thing I want to talk about this, and then we'll go to a quick commercial, Jenna. What comes next from the government? Ketchup chips. I've had those. They're pretty good, Jenna, but they're not as good as just ketchup. If I knew someone in Canada that could mail me some ketchup chips, that would be nice. What comes next from the government? You know, once they knock this down, you know, what's the next thing that they're going to stop, you know, promoting? What's the next social media outlet they're going to say, no, no, no. And everyone says, oh, Rubio, you're being too cautious. Okay, let's go back to two stories ago. 15 days to slow the spread. Okay, remember that was 15 days to slow the spread? We're 4 years later, and you still have people still freaking out about this. And we're going to also freak it out about the next and final segment, Confidence is the Key. Then we have the bottom line. Jenna, I'm out.
You have been watching The Rubio Method, a show on the NGBN.TV network. Take it away, Rubio.
Focus. Focus up. I'm talking to you, 34. Thank you for being a loyal watcher and listener and always laughing at all my jokes. Great, great guy. David Bazinet said ranch. Ranch is damn good. But you know what? You can get some bad ranch. And when you get a bad ranch, I can send you some, Rubio. Thank you, Nana Mona. Much better than your daughter. That's neither here nor there. Confidence is the key. No matter how much you dislike the mainstream media, it's simply not enough. This Saturday, El Trumpo gave a speech in Ohio on Saturday night, and he goes off on a tangent about the auto industry. He's basically saying America's going to lose to China and Mexico in the auto industry because China's building all these big manufacturing plants in Mexico. Then they're just going to ship the car or put the cars across the border with no tax or tariff. And El Trumpo says, no, man, you're not going to do that, especially if I'm elected. We're going to put 100% tariff on those. And Xi Jinping, we're buddies, but you can't do this. I know you're just trying to sneak one by America. There's no way I'm going to let you do this. And, you know, the auto industry, it's going to be a bloodbath if this happens. If I don't get elected, it's going to be a bloodbath in the auto industry, blah, blah, blah. And, of course, the mainstream media heard bloodbath, and that's all they heard. And so immediately, all the headlines started going nonstop saying, El Trumpo says America's going to be in a bloodbath if he's not elected. Political violence, political violence, political violence, political violence. And it's just, what are you talking about? But see, since Elon Musk has X now, formerly known as Twitter, everyone was able to call it out right away and said, hey, man, you're looking at the wrong thing. You didn't take the whole segment. It'd be like if it says, Rubio hates puppies that kill babies. And then you just cut it down to Rubio hates puppies. And so the world goes, oh my God, Rubio hates puppies. That's so terrible. Why would he hate puppies? He's such a mean man. Why would he hate puppies? And they're like, no, dude, all you got to do is look and say, Rubio hates puppies that kill babies. That you forgot the last part. And they did the exact same thing. So everywhere on X, formerly known as Twitter, people are sharing this and going, hey man, you're wrong. You're literally saying the wrong thing. And even Biden's headquarters campaign has tweeted it out 18 times since Saturday night, saying the exact same thing. El Trumpo, political violence, bloodbath, bloodbath, bloodbath. And I think I have a picture or a video of this, Jenna, if you want to post it.
But and as Politico.com reports tonight on the, quote, bloodbath at the RNC. Headlines calling it a, quote, bloodbath. Yeah, bloodbath. Not only is it going to be a bloodbath, but after they leave New Hampshire, it's a bloodbath on her home turf. That's really tough. Trump has left a lot of corpses in his wake. I mean, we can count the bodies as part of the, quote, MAGA drive to take over Maricopa County. And the headline refers to it as an impending bloodbath. Columnist Charles Blow has a new piece for the New York Times entitled A Biden Bloodbath.
2018 midterms, you can bet that they 100% are fearing a slaughter. In fact, the word bloodbath and massacre.
Okay, so now that the reason why we put that clip up there is because they said not only did he say it's going to be political violence, we just can't believe he used the term bloodbath. Why would you ever use the term bloodbath? Why would you ever do it? And then everyone very easily just pulls up old clips. It's like, guys, you said bloodbath 1,000 times. Who cares? And you took it out of context, number one. And number two, you guys say it all the time. It's not that big of a deal. And if you're just lying to everyone. So that's why I keep saying, if you're watching just mainstream media, you're going to have a tough, tough time knowing what's actually happening because everything is so AI generated, number one, or number two, just clipped. Yeah. Rubio hates poutine. I do hate poutine. Actually, I had some good poutine here from you guys, Chevy, or Nasty. And they use the term bloodbath all the time. So please, 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 if you don't have an X account or Twitter account, whatever you want to call it, try to get one. Follow some people that are all doing a thing. They put the Charlottesville narrative too, and it was wrong. The media know what they are doing because people believe them to a fault. 100%. The Charlottesville, that was the one where El Trumpo said, there's many fine people on both sides. And he says, well, not these people and not those people, but there's many fine on both sides. And they cut that part out. And the worst part about that is that's the Joey B campaign. It's a green light for trigger happy simpletons. AC, hell yes, that's a perfect way to put it. They just looking for something, boom, El Trumpo said that. And that's where people, you hear the term TDS, where people have Trump derangement syndrome, and that's it. And you got to think to yourself, if Elon didn't buy X and fix all the algorithms, you wouldn't even have known about this. That's the wild, wild part about this, is that so many people would not have known about this. All right, so we've hit them all, and now it's time for the bottom line. The bottom line, because I've got, 2 minutes left? Jenna, I'm right on time. Good for me. The bottom line, three of them. Here's the stuff that you should have learned without even realizing you learned them. Number one, actions have consequences. Actions have consequences. Number one on the bottom line, actions have consequences. Okay, this is from the story that I told you in the beginning. Half of you love me, half of you are going to hate me. I don't care. That's just the way it's going to be. I did what I did. I do what I do. I am who I am. Like my wife says, I'm on acquired taste. Tommy O'Rourke, great show. See you later. Thanks, man. I appreciate you watching. Number two, have some common sense and just think a bit. Number two, have some common sense and just think a bit. If someone's trying to tell you, like, okay, Rona bad, Rona bad, Rona bad. You got 6 feet of separation. But then the next sentence they say, unless you're protesting, if you're protesting for BLM, you're good, man. You're good. You can go. No one looked at that and said, okay, so I can't go to a funeral. I can't go to a birthday party. I can't go to a wedding, but I can protest. No one looked around and said, guys, this makes literally zero sense. How do you not think that makes zero sense? And number three, if something is too good to be true, it probably is. That goes to the whole, yeah, common sense ain't so common, AC. That is the truth. Number three, if something is too good to be true, it probably is. And that's the whole TikTok ban thing. Yeah, it looks good, but it's like, they're going to start taking away some stuff and they're going to limit my free speech and what I watch and what I don't watch. And it's going to make me a little bit nervous. And like I said, when both sides agree at the same time, okay, that makes me a little bit nervous. Let's end with one final email question, Jenna. Rubio, what did you like most about playing football in college? Hank in Los Angeles, California. Ooh, funny that you say that. I just talked to AC. The camaraderie of the guys, 100% the camaraderie of the guys. Football in college it's a job. It's 100% a job. not a moment. You need another 30 minutes. For 1 hour. Overtime. No, that's Chevy and Nasty's ride. Overtime, not yet. Tonight we'll have some overtime with you guys. Football. The best was camaraderie of the guys, just hanging out, BSing. I mean, AC and I, we talk pretty much every day, and we went to school. He tells me it's 30 years ago. I find it hard to believe it was 30 years ago. But the camaraderie, you're with these guys for 360 days of the year. Some guys you tend to love. I did like the training table. That was when I was at my bigger sizes. Training table was good. Training table is just basically cafeteria food. It was a good time. That wraps up episode 55. You guys did a great job. Remember, you can always comment. If you have any email questions, you can email Rubio at therubiomethod.com. And we're going to start trying to do this once a week, so be on the lookout. All right, I'll see you guys soon. Jenna, I'm out.
Thanks for watching The Rubio Method on the NGBN.TV network. Be sure to spread the word and don't forget to subscribe, like, or follow on YouTube, Spotify, iTunes, Google, Amazon, Twitter, LinkedIn, and Facebook.